Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
We've not talked about this. So there was an article in The Athletics. I think most people know this bit of news by now because it took place over the weekend. Ed Orgeron, ironically, on the heels of one of their biggest wins of the year, of the last 2 years, really, because LSU has been a very mediocre football team since winning the national championship in 2019. Maybe their biggest win of the last 2 years. They beat Florida over the weekend, and yet on the heels of that, the head coach of the Tigers, Coach Ed Orgeron, and the school arrived at an agreement where, following the season, Coach Orgeron will no longer be the head coach at LSU. So it's one of the more, I guess, stunning kind of turnarounds, especially for a guy who's a, you know, kind of a favorite son of the state of Louisiana. He's from La Rose, Louisiana, Coach O is. Goes from being a hero in 2019, coaching one of the best teams in the history of college football. That LSU team was unbelievable. So many first-round picks. The offense was next level to, basically, let's call it what it is. I mean, I know they agree to go their separate ways. Had they not, Orgeron probably would have gotten fired. It looks like he's going to get all of his money from whatever this agreement is that they have. This article in The Athletic, Seth, paints a picture of Coach Orgeron, of Coach O, where as soon as he won the national championship, like, he totally lost his way. Like, he became like Ronald Miller in Can't Buy Me Love. As soon as he started dating the hot chick, he went from a nerd to dating the hot chick, and then he forgot who he was, and then started thinking he was too cool for school. You know what I mean?
He's almost, yeah, but this is something that typically happens to people when they're like 21 years old or something.
Yeah.
This happened with Ed, I'm guessing, has got to be like 60, right?
In his 50s, for sure.
His 50s, yeah. 50-something? Okay, so all of a sudden, all the adulation and everything was heaping down on him.
Adulation, money, like, he got a new big contract, and he said, you know what, wife of 20-some-odd years, don't need you anymore. I'm going to get divorced, and I'm going to go out here and go bebopping and scotting all over town. And
he was the guy, he'd just become a doctor, and he said, oh, the woman that stood by me through medical school worked three waitressing jobs, yes, so I could study. Right. I'm done with her. I'm off to new territories.
And there's a lot of stories in this article in The Athletic about Coach O being a bit of a man about town there in Baton Rouge.
Give it to me. Tell me. Okay. Baton Rouge doesn't seem like a big enough town to get away with a lot of this stuff without it getting around a little bit.
Yeah, well, this was probably the best
story.
Especially
when you're Ed
Orgeron. Yeah, like what's – I know it's of college towns, it's probably a bigger college town, but it's still a small town. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's still – and LSU is basically the professional team there in that town. For the record, Ed Orgeron is 60, on the nose. He is 60 years old. Here's the best story from this piece in The Athletic, which, by the way, was very, very well reported. It said it created messes for Orgeron, like the time Orgeron pulled up to a woman at a gas station who was wearing exercise attire.
Hey, you look like you work out, he said, according to multiple sources. We could work out together.
The woman informed Orgeron she was married and pregnant, to which he responded, why does that matter? The woman, as it turns out, was the wife of a high-ranking LSU official.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no.
No.
Oh,
good Lord.
Because at first, Sean, I was like, well, wait a second. Like, this isn't like a... Unless she was an undergraduate student or something, I don't see how this is anything more than just a guy being, okay, maybe he's allegedly being a little bit sleazy, but it's not the same as necessarily harassment or a Me Too moment or what have you.
Right.
Yeah, that's bad. That's a bad look at Orgeron.
Yeah. Well, especially when the
Again,
woman.
It's a small damn town. You can't be. There's a really good chance just by, like, 2 degrees of separation, yes, that whoever you're hitting on or whoever you're doing else to is going to be connected to somebody of importance or notoriety.
And with that voice, you know that other people are going to hear it too. Like, you can't tell me that he went like, hey, you look like you work out. You know, it was like, hey, you look like you work out. You in the exercise gear. Hey.
Yeah, but I bet he could get away with, like, with just seeming like like old men,
right.
Old men that do it right have a way of passing off a compliment that actually, like, on the surface of it could be creepy, except they pass it off so well as just playful old man that I could see some woman being like, oh, thanks, old man. Okay. I appreciate it.
Is it weird that I want to know how pregnant she was?
Like, yeah, that's hey, you look like you work out and have sex.
You look like you're about 7 months in.
Yes, I am.
Why does that matter?
You look like my search history. Let's do something about
you look like you on the hub.
Here, the rest of the story. So the woman was the wife of a high-ranking LSU official. Word of this reached the LSU Board of Supervisors, the collection of prominent Louisiana attorneys and business owners appointed by the governor who make the most important decisions at LSU. And, of course, it reached the desk of LSU Athletic Director Scott Woodward, who did not hire Ed Orgeron. So, boom.
The only problem there is, okay, now that I've heard that chain of people who have heard it all, I do question a little bit. I guess, did this reporter talk to the woman herself?
That's a good question. I was wondering the same thing.
Yeah, she said we start hearing about all these different people have heard that, and that at one point is that just a rumor and not the actual occurrence.
Yeah.
I would hope so. I would hope that he actually talked to the woman herself to get the scoop on it.
Yep. For what it's worth, so Orgeron is gone at the end of the year. For what it's worth, the odds on the next full-time LSU head coach, Lane Kiffin is the favorite right now at 5-2. Luke Fickell of Cincinnati is 11-2. Billy Napier, who is the coach of Louisiana Lafayette, or I guess it's just Louisiana now, 7-1. Jimbo Fisher. Now, that would be interesting, Aggies, if Jimbo Fisher were pilfered from A&M back to the school where he was the offensive coordinator for Nick Saban at LSU at 15-2. Fifth on the list, Seth, for whatever reason, Bet Online listed as Billy O'Brien. But it is
Madison
Bill.
Madison with the Zoom.
Yeah, 17-2. So 8.5-1, Bill O'Brien. Mm. How much fun would it be to watch Bill O'Brien spontaneously combust as the next LSU head coach?
Bill O'Brien, I think, I don't know if he'd spontaneously combust. I think O'Brien, what people might not realize, because we saw a much different side of him as far as his public-facing side in Houston, than what a college coach shows to people. That's like a college coach is always in recruiting mode. Mm-hmm. And I think when O'Brien talks to parents, I think when he talks to recruits themselves, when he talks to the media, like in a certain environment, he can be really, really good. And that's what college coaches do. When it comes to, answering tough questions, or just dealing with the media in general in the NFL, it's a different dynamic. So I don't think that part of it would be as big of an issue. I think he'd do well with the recruiting. I guess the only question is, all right, he's already shown what a bad general manager he is. If he actually has a few years at a college program, is he going to recruit the right kind of guys, or is he going to be kind of like Mac at Texas at the end where you're just going after all 5-star guys? Like, is he actually any good at evaluating talent?
Well, yeah, I mean, look, if you're LSU, so you start with that. Like, that is a state where you go, okay, build a fence around the state, and we keep all the Louisiana kids here. I think it's one of those schools, Seth, like, if he just is a solid recruiter, like, if he's a good salesperson in front of recruits – he's not going to have to get as nuanced as he did in the NFL. Like, man, go get your 5 or 6 5-star guys. Go get a bunch of 4-star guys. Don't overthink it.
Yeah.
Hire better as a staff. Like, hire a better staff than you did with the Texans. But I think he'll be fine if he were.
And I think the other thing too is that these reputations as being like a quarterback's guy or what have you, they're unearned, they're not backed up, and yet they stick with people.
Yes, yes.
And I think with O'Brien, a big calling card could be like, hey, look, Look, I know what it takes to be an NFL quarterback. I can get you there. And think about LSU forever, you know, up until a couple years ago. It was like, how can LSU not have a good quarterback? What the hell? I don't think that's going to be an issue with Bill O'Brien.
He'll sell Brady. He will sell Watson. And he will also sell, like, hey, I did a pretty nice job with Deshaun Watson. So much so, boy, whose departure did his desire to get traded coincide with? Bill O'Brien, that's who. It's not necessarily true, but it's easy to sell to a bunch of 18-year-old kids.
Okay, so of all those, especially given what you just said about the Ed Orgeron, the supposed stories about his behavior, I feel like Lane Kiffin would be out.
Yes.
Jimbo Fisher, still, even with that extension, any chance of him go? I don't know. His wife just tweeted that she's very happy in College Station.
They'll make a run at Joe Brady. Joe Brady was the brains of that 2019 operation. They'll make a run at Joe Brady. He's the offensive coordinator for the Panthers right now.
What is Lane Kiffin telling schools, probably, I guess, just that, like, yeah, all that stuff from back in the day. I was young. Look, I got hired too young. I'll be the first to tell you. I got it. I got the head job in Oakland. I wasn't ready for it. My next three stints where I flamed out or pissed people off, I was young and immature. I'm different now. Now I'm playful. Now I'm like a Steve Spurrier. I'm obnoxious, but mature obnoxious.
Yeah. For example, here was Cole Kubelik of the SEC Network talking to Lane Kiffin before a game this weekend.
Coach Kiffin, you came out to a lot of boos. What sort of gives you comfort and calm when you come out to that kind of reception?
Matt Corral.
When
you're, I thought I was going to say popcorn.
I got mine ready. When you
don't like me a lot.
It doesn't feel like it, no.
They don't like me a lot. He was in Tennessee. He's pointing up at the crowd going, they don't like me a lot.
They threw a golf ball at him. Somebody threw a water bottle and he caught it.
Hire him. You know what, LSU? Yeah. Hire him. Just hire him. It would be fun. All right. Payne and Pendergast with you on a Tuesday, 713-572-4610. How does this last week of the postseason for the Astros affect James Click's strategy this offseason? That's next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast, presented by Allied Home Security.
All right, Dusty Baker up against it now, trying to manage this pitching staff. He only gets an inning and two-thirds out of Jose Urquidy last night. Here's Dusty on why he couldn't pull Urquidy any earlier than he did in that game.
If I go get him any earlier, man, that's going to tax my bullpen even more. You know, we're hoping he could get through that. How much earlier can I get a guy? You know, in the last two games, we've gone to get him, like, very, very, very early. And that put you still got to fill 8 to 9 innings. You know, with guys that are already taxed. And so, you know, it's kind of like a Groundhog Day, a reoccurring nightmare where you hope to get some innings out of these guys. You hope they can get out of the inning and then take him as far as you can take him. So, yeah, I mean, it's easy to say go out and get him, but then you gotta place him with somebody that's already taxed.
So, Seth, this is the third straight start in this series where the starting pitcher for the Astros has been gone by the third inning. Fromber got eight outs. Luis Garcia got three outs. Urquidy gets five outs last night. Completely unacceptable. And again, this is specific to this series. Those are three guys that have all performed, by and large, pretty well throughout the season. But you take that, three young guys like that who, you know, still, you know, they're under team control for a few more years. You have Lance McCullers, who's now, you know, dealing with a forearm strain. They don't think it's serious to where it's going to affect next year. But now all of a sudden, this starting rotation, which didn't have a true horse at the top of it like in years past, is an issue here in the ALCS. My question is, do you think this postseason, especially if it turns out the Astros go out with a whimper in this ALCS, do you think that this postseason affects James Click's strategy at all this offseason when it comes to where to spend all the Greinke and Verlander dollars that they're going to get?
It's the million-dollar question, because in Tampa, obviously the Rays don't spend a whole lot on pitchers. They shuffle them through. They become just a bunch of nameless, faceless pitchers you see in any given year, or even within any given month, really. But the Rays also operate under huge financial constraints. So, look, the Astros signed Odorizzi to too much money. Should we take that as a good sign that they're willing to overspend on bad pitching? So imagine what they would spend on actually good pitching.
Well,
I don't know.
And Lance got his extension on James Click's watch as well. You know, so that's two examples of them spending, you know, not like Scherzer money or anything, but $11 million for Odorizzi and Lance McCullers $17 million for per year over 5 years is nothing to sneeze at.
Oh, Scherzer money, you say. It's funny because I'm looking at a list at the top free agents
of 2022. Are you going shopping right now, Seth?
Because people have been asking all morning. Look, Sean. Look, my eyes are on the prize. I'm worried about this Red Sox series and this Red Sox series alone.
Sure, yeah.
But the listeners, Sean, the listeners who I care about, they've asked
children,
me.
Yes, yeah.
Should the Astros be more concerned about finding pitching than re-signing Carlos Correa? And what I tell them is, I'm not going to kick you out of bed for arguing that. We'll still snuggle up and have a discussion about it. I'm not going to. If you say, hey, I'd rather have Robbie Ray and Noah Syndergaard instead of Carlos Correa, I'd say, well, all right, now we're talking.
Well, they've got, okay, so next year, if we're just looking at this, like, who's under team control for next year? You could argue, okay, well, they've got five starters. They're paying McCullers, they're paying Odorizzi, and obviously Fromber and Urquidy and Garcia, and I'll throw Javier in there as well. Like, they're all part of the plan in some shape, form, or fashion, all those guys. So they've got numbers already. Now, that doesn't preclude them from trading any of these guys or whatever the case may be. I guess, boy, when it comes down to where to spend the money, I guess when it comes down to, like, if they're going to be in the hunt, because it's an either-or thing, they're not going to re-sign Correa and sign a marquee starting pitcher to go with McCullers at the top of the order. It's going to be an either-or thing. I guess my question becomes, if you're a Scherzer-type pitcher, you know, if you're that 25, 30, I mean, Scherzer's probably going to get 40, but if you're that frontline starting pitcher type that's worth that Greinke Verlander kind of money that they're making right now, are the Astros super attractive as a landing spot without Correa? I would say yes. I think they're still the favorite to win the division next year without
Correa. They still have a really good lineup without Correa in it.
Yeah.
The one thing that I'm hesitant with, there's actually two things about it. And it's, okay, I don't want to underestimate the current starting pitching based on two things. One is that this is the longest and the deepest that any of these younger pitchers have gone into a season in terms of total innings pitched and what have you. So is that a sign of what they actually are, that they're playing like this? Or is it something that they'll be better at next time around? So where does James Click evaluate them from that perspective? That's what I don't know. The other big thing is, okay, are the Astros simply tipping their pitches wholesale right this moment? And it would be their younger pitchers that perhaps you'd be most concerned about tipping their pitches. Because it looks like there's a lot of heated discussion and excitement in the dugout after some of these big hits by the Red Sox, kind of talking about they're seeing from the pitcher, or whether it's sign stealing, the legal variety. I'm not accusing them of anything untoward, and I'm saying this 100% without irony. If the Red Sox are doing a better job of figuring out tipped pitches and stealing signs, then the Astros deserve to lose this series.
Yes.
That's just old school baseball. That's just old school gamesmanship. Figure that out, stat. I hope all the nerds are up watching video of their own Astros players and pitchers right this moment trying to figure out what their tells are. Because then, if they figure that out, if that is part of the problem right now, then maybe the next time we see Urquidy and Framber and Luis Garcia, we'll get more than 16 outs out of them total.
This text feels a little extreme. Click should have gotten...
Oh, no.
Click should have gotten a starting pitcher during the season, but maybe he tried and he couldn't. He needs to get tip-top starting pitching, or he needs to be fired. This feels like the most bipolar text of all time. He should have got one during the season, but maybe he tried and he couldn't. But if he can't get one, he's gone. Look, James Click ain't going anywhere. It's going to be interesting. I think one of the very first things you brought up, Seth, is going to be one of the more fascinating things to see is as James Click continues to put his imprint on this organization, because let's face it, most of what we're watching out there in these playoffs is Jeff Luhnow's product. Very little of it is James Click's product. What's James Click's fingerprints? What's his imprint on this organization going to look like over the next year or two, from the construct of the pitching staff to how they handle Correa this offseason? Do they make a competitive offer to Correa? To is Dusty Baker the manager for this team in 2022? There are a lot of variables that are at a tipping point right now where it's up to James Click to make these decisions. And I think that's going to be one of the fascinating things to see is how Tampa Bay-ish does this look in March as opposed to right now?
And in 2022, I think a lot of people will have made their final decision on James Click, because that's the way it works in sports. You know, there are going to be a lot of people that either think, you know what, this is the guy. I'm going to love him the way a lot of people love Daryl Morey, to the point where we feel like he can do no wrong. Or there's going to be people that are just flat out on him because of the couple of key things that happen with Correa. Like, if Correa doesn't get signed, but then he's injured all of next year, and Click picks up a couple of pitchers who are Cy Young candidates or something, then people will love him. If the opposite is true, if he signs another couple Odorizzi types and Correa is an MVP, then it's going to be tough hoeing for James Click.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Yeah, it's a text message. Unfortunately, it's going to lead to Correa going. I'm a huge Correa fan since he showed up, but Click is Tampa raised. He's going to take the Verlander, Greinke, and Correa money and restock the pitching staff with young power arms. I'm all for whatever works, just to be clear. Like, if that ends up working, then I'm cool with it.
I think that, and you got to be really, really careful when you assume that the Rays methodology isn't really heavily affected by the fact that they don't have money to spend. You know, it's kind of like, it was like when the Oakland A's did what they did. They had to because of money. The Red Sox took all their techniques and operated in a much different way. Like, the Red Sox won a World Series with Moneyball plus money.
Plus money.
And I think that's what, So you kind of get a carbon copy of this perhaps now with the Astros, where, look, they've spent money with James Click. Yeah. They're up near the top of the luxury, or close to the CBT. It's just, I think it's going to be like Rays-style management plus money.
David Culley keeps listing the mistakes his players make in his press conferences. When does he start to list his own mistakes? That's next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout,
15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Live from the Twin Peaks studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Payne and Pendergast with you on a Tuesday, Sports Radio 610. David Culley has been peppered with a lot of questions lately on the discipline of his football team. They're not a disciplined football team. We heard Brandon Cooks talk about it. Here was David Culley yesterday when asked, how can this team get more disciplined?
Well, that starts with me, and that starts with just what I just said. We've got to do a better job as coaches in practice of making sure that we're focusing more, that our concentration is at a higher level. And it's not at that level that it needs to be right now. In practice, we haven't seen a whole bunch of those kind of things happening. It has happened. But we're going to emphasize it more as a staff. We're going to make sure they understand it more. We're going to put them in those situations again and to make sure that they understand how critical it is. And again, to change things, you got to change. And we have to do that moving forward in practice and making sure that we are addressing that even more so than what we have been addressing it, and just emphasizing it and let the process take care of itself.
We're veering dangerously to the point in the season where coaches, and O'Brien got to this point in a couple of the seasons, they just don't have good answers anymore. You know what I mean?
No, yeah, you run out of pep talks, you run out of answers. I also, though, don't want to lose sight of the fact that they played a pretty damn competitive game just 2 weeks ago versus the Patriots.
Yeah.
So it's not like all is lost and you're never going to see a competitive game out of the Texans again. But you can start to see in this last game exactly where the talent drop-off is. And what happens, and this is hard because it's going to sound like I'm making excuses. I'm not at all. But what happens on a normal football team is that there are a lot of mistakes made all the time, but talent makes up for it. Right now, we have a situation where when the Texans don't play a mistake-free game, it compounds really quickly. So the mistakes all add up. Nobody's making up for anything. If you miss your block, you don't have four other guys kicking ass on the offensive line at any given time that everything all of a sudden looks better. So, do they need to pay more attention to the detail? Sure. Brandon Cook says they're an undisciplined football team. I'll be honest with you. I don't think discipline is as big an issue as maybe Brandon Cooks thinks it is. I think they're just not that good at football.
Yeah.
I think Brandon Cooks is really good at football, but I think some of these other guys, they just suck. There's no other way to frame it or phrase it other than that they're just not good football players.
Well, here's the thing is that whatever lack of discipline there is, it trickles all the way up to the head coach. Like, this has looked like a poorly run operation. I know David Culley gets asked these questions, and he loves to list penalties as a reason. Oh, we jumped off sides, and that put them in 3rd and 5 instead of 3rd and 10. Oh, we held, and the very first play of the game, we had a false start, blabbity, blah, blah, blah. And he's listing all these things the players did. The special teams guys, the week of the Patriots game. You know, Kaimi's got to make those kicks, and oh, Cam, that was on Cam. The ball came off the side of his foot. Man, dude, start listing some of the things you're doing during these games. I mean, like, listen to this. I mean, this happened during the game on Sunday.
Have to go for it. 12:39 to go in the fourth. And, boy, substitutions here. They don't have their house in order. They got to get to the line quickly and pick this one up. Cooks is coming off. Collins stays in.
I think they only have 10 in the huddle.
Play clock down to 7.
They're going to take a timeout.
Unbelievable. They got to burn one with 3 on the play clock.
Timeout, Houston. They're first of the second half.
I mean,
they got 10 guys.
32nd timeout.
There's 10 guys on the field.
Yeah, I mean, for a team that can't afford to be burning timeout, Seth, like this, Cully can bring up all the holding penalties and all the this and that with the players that he wants to. This is a weekly occurrence where something is happening. Something is happening with this team during a game where it looks like a team where the head coach doesn't know what he's doing or doesn't have control of the sideline.
Well, and I think that's part of this whole process too, right? Is, all right, you know, they're in some kind of a reset with the roster. It's been a weird reset because they still actually spent a pretty good chunk of money in free agency just on a bunch of no-name players. So it's not like they're saving up cap space for the eventual turnaround. But it is some kind of a reset where they weren't trying to actually go out and sign guys that were going to help you win big time. But the question is, all right, in this reset, what's going to happen with the head coach? Is there any chance at all for David Culley to show that he should be the guy that sticks around through the uptick part of it? And I don't think that was their plan originally, was to have David Culley stick around. I'd be surprised if that was their plan. But I think they might have been open to potentially it working out that way. So far, Culley has made enough mistakes that I don't think you can look at him as the guy that's going to be the long-term future when all of a sudden there's viable players on the team.
Yeah, no, it's an interesting question. Like, the question is, could David Culley be 1 and done, right? Like, they're 1 and 5. They're going to be at best 2 and 7 going into the bye week. And I don't know how you feel about it, Seth. I do feel like there's a chance that if a quarterback shows himself collegiately this year enough to where the Texans feel like using a top 5 pick on him is the right thing to do, I could see where they would then make a move with the head coach, because then if you don't feel like Culley's going to be the guy long term, then there's no reason for him to be the head coach when you get a new quarterback in here that you feel is the franchise moving forward. Because what you don't want to have is a quarterback who falls into one of those 3 head coaches and 4 coordinators in his first 5 years kind of ruts. You know what
right.
I mean?
Yeah, and that's when, you know, especially if you're getting a quarterback and you want an offensive-minded head coach.
Yes.
Look, I know the hazards of going out and thinking like, oh, we'll get a Bill O'Brien and that'll turn everything around because he's an offensive-minded coach. But it would make sense if that's what the Texans wanted to do. The only way you can really get and retain a good offensive coordinator anymore is to make him a head coach, because every good offensive coordinator ends up getting a head coaching job somewhere. So, if they wanted to bring in Lincoln Riley or something because they had a high court pick, they're going to somehow get Matt Corral or whatever it might be, or Lamar Jackson, or Malik Willis.
Yeah.
Then by all means, go for it.
Yeah. Payne and Pendergast with you on a Tuesday. Meanwhile, around the AFC South, remember back in week 1 when the Texans were the only team in the AFC South that won the first week of the year? That was fun. They were 1-0 and everybody else was 0-1. That's changed. The Texans are 1-5 now, and this was the first weekend that I can think of where all the other AFC South teams won. In fact, I know it is, because Jacksonville hadn't won a game going into Sunday in London against the Miami Dolphins. The rest of the division went 3-0 this weekend. The Texans went 0-1. Of course, one of those wins was the Colts actually beating the Texans. The other two games in the division, I think, are interesting storylines. Urban Meyer gets his first win as an NFL head coach in London on Sunday.
Cook puts it down. Wright kicks it up. The 53-yarder is good, good, good. Wright has made it. The Jaguars have won it on a 53-yard field goal by Matthew Wright. What a magnificent ending in London.
I like that call. For when I was Jacksonville Jaguars radio network. I watched the locker room celebration after that, Seth. Trevor Lawrence got the game ball. Everybody was super happy for him, his teammates. You can tell he's connecting with his teammates. Then old Herb gets up on a chair and starts talking to the team. And I'm just looking at the faces around the room, and I'm thinking, all these faces, like looking at all these guys all got to be looking at Herb and like, dude, you were just on video like 10 days ago snuggling up and grab-assing some woman who wasn't. You're like, get down.
After a tough loss.
In Ohio while we're all back grinding in Florida. Yeah.
The speech where you probably told us to, you know, stick in there because tough times don't last, but tough people do.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. He was giving him one of those rah-rah speeches. If I was a player, I would be like rolling my eyes like, okay, dude.
Hey, Was Urban Meyer's body language always that bad? Is it just that he's got more adversity in the NFL? Like, it was always that bad. It's just there was never as much adversity in college.
Yes.
Where now there's just more adversity, obviously, where he is.
Yeah, well, it's all adversity right now, right?
Yeah.
Like, there's very rarely a time on the sideline with the Jaguars where there's a reason to look happy about things that are going on.
He's always got that wide stance with his hands on his feet and his head down.
Yeah.
And it's disgusting. It's just no way to present yourself routinely as a leader of men.
Because he's bent over? Like,
he looks like he's quitting. It looks like he's utterly and totally defeated.
It doesn't project
confidence or strength. Body language matters. Sometimes people go over to the top when it comes to the athletes themselves. But once you're in a leadership position, mm-hmm. body language is incredibly important.
Yeah.
And, I look at – it's one thing, again, when a bunch of college kids basically are under your complete and total control and they can yank your scholarship at any time, that stuff doesn't matter. But when you actually genuinely have to lead men, full-grown men, they have some damn body language, man.
I like it. Yep. So Jacksonville gets their first win of the year. They're 1-5 now. Meanwhile, in the AFC South, the Titans last night. This was a fun game to watch. I had the Astros going on one screen. I had the Bills and the Titans going on another. And there were several times during the Astros game where I said, I might have to just focus in on this football game, because the lead changed 7 times in that game last night between the Bills and the Titans. The Bills are driving for a game-winning touchdown in the red zone, like goal-to-go type territory. They have a 4th down and a yard to go. It looked like Josh Allen had picked up the first down. We're talking there's under 30 seconds to go in regulation with the Bills trailing by 3. So it's 4th and 1. There's a decision to be made. Do we go for it here, try to score the touchdown and go win the game, or do we kick a short field goal, send it to overtime? The Bills decide to go for it, and here's what happened.
What a play this is. 4th down and 1 from the 3. Allen in the gun. 3.
Oh, poor Kevin Kugler. Someone kidnapped Kevin Kugler in the middle of that highlight.
That was why.
4th down and 1 from the 3. Allen in the gun. 2 receivers right now. He'll go under center, and he will sneak, and he falls short, I believe. He slipped as he tried to plant his foot, and he falls short.
So the crowd going bananas in Nashville, and the Titans go on to win. The Titans 4-2 on the season now. For all the talk earlier in the year about, I don't know, the Titans, they're not looking so good, and the schedule's really hard. They now, Seth, if there was a tiebreaker for home field in the playoffs or something that came down to the Titans and the Bills, the game would be played in Nashville. They have the same record as the vaunted Buffalo Bills, who were number 1 in everybody's book a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, and it looks like that dynamic duo of A.J. Jones, A.J., what am I blanking on?
A.J. Brown?
A.J. Brown, thank you. And Julio Jones, there you go, it's starting to come into focus now exactly what the offense could look like and what Ryan Tannehill can do with those guys. But more than anything, Derrick Henry is, my God. Sean, it seemed like every time I flipped over to this game last night, he was in the middle of like some 30-yard just dividing, like dividing of the Red Sea against the Bills. And I'll credit some of the Bills' defensive backs. Some of those Bills' defensive backs had to just put themselves in front of Derrick Henry running a 4.440, like, without having been touched whatsoever. That is a scary human being. And frankly, I feel a little bit threatened myself, because I am but a stat nerd who wants to tell you that no, you shouldn't pay running backs, and no, you can't run running backs that much because they get injured. Derrick Henry is a walking, like, in your face to every stat nerd that wants to devalue the running back, because he's on pace to have more carries and yardage than anybody's ever had in a 3-year history. He's been durable as all get out. He flat out drives the engine of that offense. It is that was an impressive display last
night. Yeah, I think when they signed him to that deal, here's my guess, Seth. When they signed him to that deal, I think he's in the second year of that contract right now.
Yeah.
Came into the league in 2015. In 2016, he came into the league. So he was a second-round pick. So 2016 through 2019 was his rookie deal. Signs that contract extension going into 2020, and he's been unbelievable. He rushed for over 2,000 yards last year. He's leading the league in carries and yards and touchdowns again this year, as he has the previous 2 seasons. And I think when they signed him to that deal, I think most people said, you know what, he's they're gonna drive him into the ground, and this will be a contract that gets, I think it was a 4-year deal that he signed. I think most of us look at that and said, all right, well, they'll get 2 years out of him, and then like most running backs, you'll move on from him after a couple of years. I don't know, man. I mean, I know there's still 11 games left in this season. There's a lot of season to be played. Maybe he wears down at the end of this year. But holy crap,
this
man.
This is the Greg Rosenthal from NFL Network put this out, or yeah. NFL.com. Derrick Henry is on track to be the first player ever to lead the NFL in rushing yards and scores for 3 straight years.
Yep.
He was on pace for 452 carries before last night.
Yeah, he's got 162 carries in... 162 carries in 6 games. So in a 17-game season, yeah. I mean, he's still on pace for about that. But what'd you say, 450 carries?
That was leading into last night. He was on pace for that.
Oh, my God. Wow, that's unbelievable, man. That is incredible. All right, Payne and Pendergast.
How many did he have last?
He had 20. He had 20 carries last night.
No, how much does he have now for, on the season?
162. So, yeah.
No, how many total yards on the season?
783.
Oh, it's 162 total carries? Sorry.
Yeah, 162.
Yeah, so he's on pace for 459 carries.
Oh, my God.
That's a lot. Yeah.
Yeah, if he had 378 last year. Like, can you reasonably hand the ball to a human being 450 times in an NFL season? And, like, in good conscience, can you do that? I mean, like, I feel like he should put in for combat pay.
I wonder if, and he just kind of, the thing about him is, he doesn't take a whole lot of abuse because it's just not that. For one, defenses have gotten lighter. So defenses are lighter. They got a bunch of guys who are light in the seat back there designed to stop the pass.
Yeah.
And so you have these safeties who are undersized safeties trying to tackle him, or cornerbacks trying to tackle him, or undersized linebackers trying to tackle him. And he doesn't ever really look like he's hurt all that much.
Yeah. Payne and Pendergast with you on a Tuesday. A reminder, Kirby Ice House. Kirby Ice House is where Clint Sterner and the show will be today, 2-6, taking you up to the Astros game tonight at 7 o'clock.
Larry Johnson has the record for carries in a season with 416.
Okay,
isn't he pretty much crazy now?
Yeah, well, yeah, and he did that a couple years in a row, and he was basically a dead man walking after that. Like, that's a legitimate question. I know Derrick Henry looks like he was built in a factory, and he's this gigantic cyborg.
So is Larry Johnson.
Right, right. Like, eventually, Mother Nature or Father Time or whatever relative it is you want to throw into this thing, eventually they win on all this. I just wonder, yeah, I mean, they're going to have to dial him back this year, man. 459 carries, Well, and you got to give him the MVP, obviously, if he keeps up that level of work. I mean, you got to give him the MVP.
All right. Yeah, Larry Johnson's Twitter is an interesting one. I highly encourage you to.
Is it the Twitter of somebody who carried the ball 450 times in a season, Seth?
This is the Twitter of somebody who is deep into conspiracy theories before 38% of America got deep into conspiracy theories. He's like he was original. Like this guy's. He's in there, man.
Someone needs to show that to Derrick Henry and Mike Vrabel. Like, okay, this is the direction this is all going right now, just so you know. Someone needs to show Larry Johnson's Twitter timeline to them. All right, heading into the 9 o'clock hour, back to the Astros. We're going to try to cliche our way into feeling better about Game 4 tonight. That's next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.